Well, what a surprise. I've decided to be live. Now, I've said that many times, and you're not sure whether it's a rerun or not when I say it. Now, is he a rerun saying he's live, or is he really live? I'm really live. You've never seen this jacket before. I'm trying to restore the Lakers image. Some of my people gave me, some of my staff gave me this Laker jacket, shirt, whatever it is. And it was Father's Day. It says the world's best dad. You like that? Not heard that before on any program, so this has to be live. New York City. 3 hours later, we're catching you in prime time. But the most important thing is I sneak in here and start at this hour, and I find out how many voices of faith are not here. I like to catch people when they're not doing their job. I've got 3 voices of faith. I want them to become marathon runners as you call. And the phones, some 70 to 80 phones in here, they're going to have to run all over the place to find which one's ringing. So if you don't get an immediate answer, just dial after 7 rings, and it'll ring on some other phone. So I'm going to check and see if the King's Houses out there are as absent as the voices of faith are. So give me some music, start these phones ringing, and I'll see how fast these 3 voices of faith can run. There better be some more of you out there. Start running here right now. I'll get on telephone. Now I saw some of the phones answered and put on hold as they ran to finish a call with someone else. When I'm not talking and the music's playing, just keep calling. If it rings 7 times and it's not answered, then dial again, because the phones ring in different places in here, and you may get a phone closer to the voices of faith. Right now, I want to talk to you. I only want to talk to the people that have responded to my teaching over the years, or are responding now. This is not a festival to strangers, not a festival to curiosity seekers. Your voice of faith can just sit down. I don't want any phones answered while I'm talking. And then when I came here almost 29 years ago this October, I preached 2 messages. I met first with the teachers, Sunday school teachers. They had a banquet. My predecessors had planned a banquet out at the big skating rink, bowling place, whatever it is, across from the Equestrian Center, where I think it's Alameda and some other Riverside or something intersect. I didn't know anybody. I preached a message that I had once published in a little book, The Strangest Story in the Bible, Jephthah. He wanted to do something for God, and he faced a very threatening situation, and he asked the Lord to help him and give him the victory, and he made a vow that if the Lord would help him and give him the victory, whatsoever came out of the door of his house to meet him. When he came home from the battle, his words were, "It shall surely be the Lord's." Translating the King James, "And I will offer it as a burnt offering unto the Lord." The original allows the alternate, "Or I will offer it." "It will surely be the Lord's," "or I will offer it as a burnt offering unto the Lord." He went. God gave him the victory. He won the battle against overwhelming odds. When he came home, his daughter came running out of the door of the house to greet him. And the reality of his vow came home. God had done his part. He had made the vow. Now, he was a near heathen. He didn't have the revelation we have. Didn't have the prophets and all of their declarations. Didn't have the promises. Jesus hadn't come and died for him. The Holy Spirit had not been given. The church had not been born. The hope of eternal life was at best hazy. A near heathen. That's what I said to the teachers. But he said, "I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." And I remember preaching this in Seoul, Korea, with Cho Yeon-ji, who pastors the largest church in the world now. Cho was my interpreter. At first, he didn't want to translate this message because, as with many countries closer to their primitive roots, there were still people who sacrificed children. That evil heathen practice. Until I pointed out in the original two things. He had an option. "It shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it as a burnt offering unto the Lord." And the second thing you read later, that the daughters in Israel used to go year after year, the King James, to be consistent with their translation, to lament. No, they used to go year by year to see this daughter. His options were sacrifice the daughter, put her on the offering, and burn all of her, the blood, the bones, the flesh, as a burnt offering to the Lord. Or, as the night of the Passover, when the firstborn were not killed in the homes of those who exercised faith and put the blood on the doorposts, and the angel passed over, the firstborn of the household were not killed, but they were ever after given to the Lord. These were the young men who were to serve Moses and serve the Lord the rest of their lives, belonging to the Lord. Jephthah had to give his daughter to serve the Lord in the tabernacle. In either case, she was gone from his life, as in the case of Samuel's mother, who had promised and gave the boy to the Lord. The point I made is that paradoxically, you don't earn your way into God's blessings. But Jephthah had a quality about him. He recognized, if you ever do anything for God, it's going to cost you something. And when the payment of the cost looms on the horizon, that's the make or break event. And we have a generation prophesied in the last days that will be lovers of self rather than God. And we have churches that cater to people's wants. And commitment is as artificial as the understanding of the church, where people change it from that which belongs to the Lord to something that belongs to them. And I challenge those teachers, none of whom that I can find around, who are much younger than me in most cases, if they ever do anything for God, it'll cost them something. Because I knew I was coming to a church that the entire church world had written off. It was on the verge of bankruptcy. And there was no way we could move forward if some spark within them was not struck by God, that they would put their shoulders to the wheel and be willing to pay the price. Doing something for God costs you something. That daughter was forever gone from Jephthah's life. I preached on 1 Samuel 22 very shortly thereafter. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over him. There were with him about 400 men. Now I imagined him sitting in that cave, the anointed but uncrowned king of Israel, looking at this band in that cave. They were there because they had no other options. In debt, in distress, discontented. And I remember looking around the congregation, the few that had remained from the days when the church was a great institution in this city as it now is. And I motivated them as I turned to a later chapter that I'll go back to in another half hour, where God takes the time to catalog David's mighty men. What has driven me in the ministry for years is the belief that God's power can change people. That the tap on the shoulder by God can shift people's priorities until God and His work means more than anything else. That's what Jesus said. And I hammered on Luke 14 in those early days. If any man will come after me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brother, his sister, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And I've held to the hope that God's word would challenge people until out of this ministry would come from the distressed and the discontented and those in debt, out of those beginning elements would come a band of mighty men that I could proudly recite to God and see the changed lives. And I'll come back to what these mighty men did. It's been discouraging to see more like the children of Israel, who forgot the pit from which they were dug, and became presumptuous, self-centered, disfaith people, that God Himself eventually said He came to hate and strode their bones in the wilderness because they kept God on trial instead of recognizing He was putting them through a trial to test them. Now, the amazing thing about the Bible is that in Hebrews 11, this near heathen that understood one principle and had the guts and self-sacrifice to carry it out in his commitment to God, Jephthah, with all the great and stupendous heroes throughout the Old Testament, this near heathen makes the list. You read Hebrews 11, the catalog of the heroes of faith, Jephthah's there. He had that which is the other side of the coin of faith, trustworthiness. God could count on him when he made a commitment. When price paying came along, he'd pay the price and see it through to the finish. We're in Romans now, teaching on Jesus as the author of faith. Not our faith, faith. The first goer and the pace setter. He's also the finisher. I've had too many starters, not enough finishers. But I have not given up hope. In all of Jesus' ministry, he had maybe John standing afar off as he went to the cross alone. A few women, his mother standing there. With a ministry unbelievable in price paying to those that think popularity contests is a sign of God's approval. Paul has to come to the door of the end of his ministry here on earth, writing to Timothy. All Asia has forsaken me, only Luke is with me. One more than Jesus had. So I've also preached through this 29 years. Well, my dad quotes so well. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. So I'm fishing for the few. That's what this festival's about. I've gone through the agony of 7 long years to move aside people that came. I don't really know, only God knows their intentions. But they lost their vision. They lost their commitment. They settled on their lease. And I remember when I talked about the book Windswept House, told the quasi-humorous story of the emperor who fired all the bureaucrats in the Forbidden City and then discovered he had no one to pay the bills. He had to hire them all back. The agony of the Pope in Windswept House, which was prophetic as we're seeing the evil break upon the world in disclosure of what's been going on behind the scenes with the pedophiles. I read in the newspaper Sunday of a church in Orange County The pastor had been carrying on an affair with his brother's wife for 18 years. Churches split, shoving matches over who gets the offering. A judge now sealing the books and the records and trying to sort it out. The priest will close that door because I see people running around. They can come in, but I want people in here not running around and disturbing me. Sit down until I tell you I need you. A priest running from a pedophile charge. He's cornered in Mexico, jumps out the window and commits suicide. A special running two nights on Nightline, The Messengers. I see their snideness as they announce it. The pity is, sincerely, mistaught and misguided young men is misguided in what the call of God's about as the Fedayeen and the Muslims in a national preaching contest, teenage preachers to find the next Billy Graham. My Lord, Elijah found Elisha. And Elisha was a servant for 11 years. Reducing the call of God and the domata principle of God's gift to the church, which he intends to be those that would shake the world, whatever they did, cheapened into a national preaching contest, showing one of them practicing preaching to the mirror in his bedroom. The sincerity of the teenage boys is too obvious to dispute, and the pride of their parents. What a reduction of the call of God into a competitive preaching contest. I came to town asking for uncommon people, Christians that were willing to be Christians. A church that truly exemplified a people that belonged to the Lord. A church with people that would, no matter what their starting point, be faithful, covenant keepers, make a commitment, and pay the price. Now, I've had to move the cancer out. People that can't live with themselves without somehow rationalizing to themselves why they didn't make it. People who made commitments and didn't keep them. Hangers-on. And a congregation that's gotten comfortable, who shovel it over their shoulder when I preach about commitment. Every revival that ever happened in the history of the church has come about when God touched people, and men in industry and men in leadership and men in business would give it up to put God first. It ought to be obvious to anybody but a fool. I don't have to just preach. I can. There are lots of preachers that have nothing to do if they couldn't have a preaching place. I can sure do something else. Now, I'm here fishing for some people. We're at a station break. I'm going to pause for a song. You can call while we do, and I'm going to continue right where I am. So you just get on the phone while the song plays. Now, the previous half hour, I was closing it on a sour note for the churches. The pedophile scandal in the Catholic Church. And it's just like one after another, a new explosion breaks loose. There had never been a time when the church world needs a clear clarion voice And I've said many times, if there's 40 crooked sticks laying down and one straight stick lays down beside it, a half-blind person can tell the difference. If there was an opportunity to do something that counted 28 years ago, it dims into almost a non-sight quality with the opportunity that faces us now. And you all be seated. I don't want any calls while I'm talking. And yet I have a congregation of onlookers. A generation that's grown up under my ministry. I dealt with somebody that I love as a son, that's been a part of this ministry from the beginning as a member of this congregation. His son has been raised under my ministry. But I had to put a stop to the son with the permission of the parents choosing what he wanted to do in this ministry. This is not a church where you find independent ministries and ways to feel good about yourself by volunteering to help out in the place of your choosing. I think I made that clear from the day I came here. You come to the God-ordained leader of this church and you offer yourself, and I pick what you do. I got a church of home run kings. Let me go to bat. Aim for the bleachers. I may want you to bunt or make a sacrifice hit. I got people that think because they give, they tithe. I commend you for that. You've learned that much. You've done enough. You haven't done anything except before God show that you're not a thief. Now, I want to find some people that mean business and are ready to give their life to God. If I have to cut this church down to just me and my wife, who's doing everything now, I'm tired of losers, tired of four-flushers. I'll take a few people that are in debt, distress, and discontented that are just hearing me, and hope is springing into your life by God's Word. But I've had it with you people that have been delivered out of Egypt, sat in the cave, followed for 40 years, still have no faith, and still think that God owes you something. I've had it with you old mossbacks for Jesus that are backslidden and don't know it. I want some new blood and some people that want to follow me. I also preached on Jonathan and his armor bearer. You have to ask the question, where was the rest of Israel? I used to take a tour of Israel, and the tour guide didn't know where it was, so I'd stop the bus, what looked like in the middle of the desert, and they wonder, what are we stopping for? And I'd take the people a couple of hundred feet off to the edge, looking down on the Jordan Rift, to Mishmash, named after what happened to the Philistines. Jonathan's on the other side of a gorge, looks at his armor bearer, and says, "Lest you and me go over to the camp of the Philistines." He didn't even give him absolute assurance. It may be that the Lord will work for us. And I pause in the middle of this, because I've got a congregation full of people. They've heard all this. And they only have to hear a few words and they tune out. You have developed the insulation to make sure that you wouldn't hear if God said, "You're the one I'm talking to." I got a bunch of losers out there, barred from the church, because they're too proud, with no buts attached, to say, you nailed me, Pastor, I'm a prideful ass, I did wrong, and I'm too proud to face myself. Got one prideful ass out there? He got a message delivered from somebody I told to deliver the message, and I'm sure the person who delivered the message got a little bit of self-anointed and went beyond and did some preaching instead of just saying, look, jerk, this is what you did wrong. Stop doing it or get out of here. My style is not pour too much oil in. If you're not man enough to take it, you're not man enough to serve God. How do you think you can follow the first goal of this ministry who selflessly got himself nailed to a cross for our sake and who did no sin but took the blows on our behalf? I'm tired of this fairness syndrome body of jerks produced by progressive education. You get on to them because you burglarized my house, raped my wife, and sodomized my kids, and why did you go through that back door and come in here and do that? And he gets into an argument with you because he won't let you get away with saying he came in the back door. Forget the fact he burglarized your house, sodomized your kids, raped your wife. He will not let you describe what he did with that error in it. I came through the side window. I'm sick of that. Up to here, with self-serving, self-preserving, pseudo-Christians that will use all of their genius to keep the skunk inside your rib cage alive. Another half hour I'll get to the verses I skipped over in Romans, the 9 verses that describe the state of all of us. Every one of you listening to me are totally without hope. If you've listened to anything of the 200 and some messages, you are totally without hope, without faith. Faith is running to the voice of the sayer. Obedience. Running to. They tune me out because they've heard it all. 29 years, you can count on two hands the times I have not been in the pulpit. I doubt there's a pastor in America. I used to preach 7 messages every year because you needed them. The nitro pills, I call them. There isn't a pastor in America that comes to the pulpit with as much fresh stuff as I do every Sunday. I am deprived of laying down some of the foundation messages that took this church out of its condition 29 years ago, because I got too many sitting around now. Oh, I heard this one. Because you backslid. In those days, I preached through Ezra and Nehemiah. 650,000 got the message. Talk about idiots. More than 70 years earlier, Jeremiah had prophesied the bondage would last 70 years. To the day, God wove the pattern. A nomadic leader northeast of the Persian Gulf wells the Persian tribes together, conquers the Medes, the northern half of Iran, battles that the chances of them being killed innumerable. But God had named him through a prophet well before they even went into bondage. God raised him up, a heathen. Kept him alive as he welded the Medes and the Persians together. And to the day, he conquers the Chaldean kingdom and issues the proclamation. They're to return and can return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple first. Anybody but a dead in the head, calloused, self-serving listener among those bondage Jews would have said, I'm getting on the side of a God who can accomplish this. 50,000 of them out of the 650,000. And all the combined waves from Ezra through Nehemiah. That's all that came back. The rest of them were too busy getting on with their life in Babylon. Remember, I preached for weeks on the names and what it meant of those that came back, including one band whose name meant Children of the Flea. As I motivated people to step forth and make sacrifice, I doubt 20% of my congregation will double portion in July. Yet in those days, when this ministry and the church were facing blackout of our television voice, people stepped forward and doubled our budget for 3 consecutive months. You're the beneficiary. Nothing happens in this ministry without the satellite. Because someone stepped forth like Jephthah. Or some of those people that were in need and distress and discontented and let me be a captain over them, or a captain over them, were ready to double their giving. Double portion is not complicated. It's twice what you gave in June. Twice your regular giving. I'll just take the benefits. Make sure I don't have to pay any price for it. I'm tithing. That means you're doing nothing. Those that aren't tithing, that means you're a thief, and it takes a gutsy kind of thievery to rob God. I cannot believe it's like the Israelites that came out of Egypt. 400 plus years. Abraham asked, how will I know that your promises are going to be carried out? I'm going to give you something statistically impossible as proof. A dark night of terrorizing experiences. And how will I know God will do what you said you would do? Okay, record it. I'll take your children down to a country they are strangers in. They'll become slaves in that land. And then, talk about a contrast, from slaves, I'll take them out richer than when I took them down there. And I will bring them back to the same place. And it wasn't Sinai where they wandered around for 40 years. It was the Promised Land. And it'll happen in the 4th generation when I send a deliverer. You got to be an idiot with a brain the size of a half-brained squirrel to not want to get on the side of a God that can make it happen like that. You didn't have the faith to even face a giant. Only Caleb and Joshua survived, and those under 20, the kids, that God could start over with. Same thing with those Jews in Babylon. A God that could make the bondage last, tied into reality like they and their self-centeredness had stopped keeping the Sabbaths, in the Sabbath years. So God took it all back in the 70 years of bondage. I have Kerman rugs. It's illegal to make them now. The way the weave is woven. I got my faith from a study of the resurrection. I cemented it because no man could have done what this Bible records. You're all a bunch of losers on a losing side. As dead as the children of Israel. Full of apostasy, unable to be motivated again. You remind me of the people in Jerusalem. You stand by. While my wife is killing herself and I'm killing myself, doing what scores of people used to do. We had three people in the accounting room paying the bills, just that half of it. They worked 16 hours a day, couldn't stay in budget, and couldn't get the job done. She does it in 2 days and stays in budget. Today we've lost, had to get rid of so many people. She had to go and be one of those opening the mail and counting today. Three people were eliminated this week. And you just sit up there and watch it happen. Nobody's stepping forward. Nobody's... I came in here and had two voices of faith. And I look at some of these crud ministries that cater to what people want and flatter them and stroke them and do worse than that to them. You won't even keep your commitments as voices of faith. That marvelous cathedral where, like Caleb, who made it in and said, give me this mountain where the giants were that scared everybody else away. I'm 8 years past required retirement age in most corporations. And I said, give me this mountain, and we got it. Can't even get three people round the clock to guard that temple. Can't fill this place. No wonder we have trouble getting the reservations by Wednesday. Not enough people in here to take the calls. And people have found that out, and they quit calling. I've asked for young people that have a life. I want seven people. I want seven people today. I'm looking at a young man, said to him, Mike, I want you to give your life to God. As a servant. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. I want seven new people to get in here. I'll pay you minimum wage, that's all. You're going to work 72 hours a week. 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. That eliminated 99% of them right there. I talked today at a hotel. All the waiters there worked their head off and they worked two jobs. One of them had to leave to another hotel out in Hollywood. In his best week, including tips, he may make $300. $250 is their base pay. I said, what would you do if you could make twice that? He works more than 12 hours a day. He works two jobs. Man, grin over his face. Make twice that. Just to do what? Just to take orders. Do anything from being a houseboy cleaning, to mowing lawns, to walking a beat. When do I start? I'm sick of Christians. When I came here 29 years ago, I brought with me an agnostic attorney, an agnostic accountant. I swore I would never hire another Christian. I'd learned that tragically, where they want me to be their pastor when they're failing and their boss when it's payday. I got a bunch of losers sitting out there, I repeat. I didn't finish the story. One of them was getting a message from a representative of me, someone I told to tell him to stop doing something. He said, "You're not my pastor," and got up and stalked out. When the next person called him, he hung up on him. And they told him, "Don't even think about coming to church until you understand. I'm going to be real blunt. If I send you a message written on a dog turd, don't smell the turd, just take the message. The issue is, where's the message coming from? I'm quite sure Balaam wasn't used to being talked to by his ass. God sometimes uses an ass to keep you from being killed in the way. The issue is," he hung up before he could get the rest of the message, "you had only one choice. If you didn't like the way the guy was delivering the message and you thought he was going beyond, because most people know me and know my style, if you thought he was going beyond and pontificating too much, which I find rather humorous in this case, because if the guy was pontificating, he was pontificating to the pontificator of a century. That when he's delivering the message, man, he can pontificate beyond anybody that ever pontificated. And that's always the way it is. The pontificators don't like to be pontificated to. But he only had one choice. Thank you very much. Get up and leave. And request an audience with me to tell me that, in his view, this ass over-communicated. In his honest heart, he knows that. That some other idiot out there that justifies his failure sits out there and pouts and wants to be taken back into the fellowship without facing whatever percentage. I might have a different percentage than him, but if his is 0.2% of blame, I want that faced with no qualification. It's the way I came here 29 years, the way I'll be the next 29 years. And I'm tired of not being able to see through the fog of comfortable flesh that has tuned me out when I ask you to take this mountain with me and march forward. And I want to find those jewels. Jesus paid the price to buy the whole field to get the treasure out of it. You'll come to work for minimum wage. But I will find somebody out of the seven that will be an aid to my wife, and what she's doing is my aid, and will not ask questions and not try to knock home runs and will not improvise. They will simply do what they're told to do, no matter what it is. When I find that person, I'll pay him $50,000, $52,000 a year, $1,000 a week. I've been known to pay people. The idea has gone around, oh, you have to work for nothing when you come here. Out of those old guard members that have gone, there's at least three that made $10,000 a month. a leading executive at one of the hotels today, works 90 hours a week on an average and makes $50,000. And when I said to him, I've dismissed and removed at least three people that I paid over $10,000 a month, $10,000 or more, he said, how can I get that? And they only work 72 hours a week. I'm sick of Christians. Quotes on it. I'm sick of those that have forgotten who our first goer is and what he did for us. Now, I want seven people to come in here that you can't get them out of here with a cannon unless I tell you to go. I'm tired of quitters, tired of pseudo-sacrificers. I want seven people to take up roots like Elisha and follow me as I follow Christ, and I'm going to find them. I don't want the old guard anymore. I've got rid of them. I want a new marriage. Get on the phone. Now, I'm going to say again, I'm looking for seven people to make a commitment that they mean. I don't care where you are in these United States. You may not be able to afford a move or coming in. Okay, you make your application, your resumes, you call and tell us what you do and why you want to come and work here. I will fly, not the family. In fact, those with families are usually divided. Paul said that. You've got family obligations. I'm really looking for unencumbered lives. But I'll take those that are encumbered, too, if they convince me they mean business. I'll fly you in for 30 days and give you a place to stay. You can get air tickets now pretty cheap if you make a 2 weeks ahead reservation. I'll fly you in for 30 days and give you a place to stay. 30 days, I'll be able to figure out if you mean business. My wife said to me, get me seven people, I'll train them. Out of the seven, I may get one, two. This is like training camp at the Lakers, where this jacket was given to me to remind me. Very few of them are going to make it on the team. We got this problem in Christianity. You must bring all of your problems. And then this ministry must be reduced down to me ministering to you. So now, even though I paid a fortune, worked 40 or 60 hours a week in addition to going to school, finally earned scholarships and paid for the teaching I got, I'm supposed to hire people who the first time they stumble, then I'm supposed to carry a clientele and minister to them 4 and 5 hours a day. And, I'm here because I believe you can save me. Sorry, God does the saving. I don't care if you're a sinner or a Christian. I just want you here to help me. It's what you're going to be paid for. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I'll fly somebody in for 30 days, but you better mean business. This is a boot camp. This is a training camp for a team that's far more important than some championship team. And I don't want some of you has-beens and losers and been here and out 4, 5, 6, 7 times, sitting around trying to justify how hard it is. You had some fool joyously accept the opportunity because we're a skeleton. We don't have anything. I can't have my wife doing security in 5 places all night long. Well, we gave him a job 3 days a week. All he had to do was do night security at one place 3 days a week. We gave very clear orders to my staff people. spend 20 minutes training him on how to maintain, by maintain means guard and supervise in the basic routines at the gate. This was the gate up at Silver Oaks Ranch. All he had to do was the gate, train him in the gate procedure, which is keeping a log, making entries, letting people in and out, asking the right questions. Do that in 20 minutes. We gave 30 minutes to a guy to train him. That's what he was supposed to do. Three nights a week, just guard the gate. $100 a night. He was happy, eager beaver. Comes one night, next morning, got the message, and I love, satirically, I really love these people that want to twist my preaching and play it back at me for their benefit. I'm not one of those uncommon men that Doc and Melissa are looking for. I won't be back. I'm sick. Well, we're so lean, I had to pull Dean out of the, who's critical here right now, out of the studio today, because I had nobody on security at my house. The closer you move to me, the more you have to have a spiritual armor, because you're moving into the arena where the maximum cosmocratoros demon forces attack. How he did it, I don't know. But he, I found on the way here, he sprained his ankle walking on my lawn. And that you're going to have to explain to me, Dean. How you sprain an ankle walking on my lawn? That's all he's supposed to do. The other guy that quit put us in a position where the man that was supposed to train him 20 minutes and fill a post at the cathedral for security that has been vacated. He got sick. I found that out at noon today and can't fill his post. I pay people to stay around until I need them. And then when I need them, they have no weaponry against Satan. And Satan just knocks them off when I have nothing. Anyway, this guy, this, he's an old-timer. Been around, he's heard all the teaching. He's an old army man. You ought to know better. In other words, I quit. I won't be back. I've unraveled the story. The man that was supposed to train him for 20 minutes. You want to hear this?
Yes, sir.
This is reality. I originated reality television. Sit down here, people. Only when the music plays do you stand up and answer phones. I then ferreted out the story. The guy that was to train him, that was formerly on the night security, and Melissa found two guys and hired one four nights a week and the other one three nights a week, so we were covered this week with the skeleton that we have, and hopefully dead last. Not a very tough job. The guy that had that job was to train him for 30 minutes, because it's a simple little set of routines, and report down to the cathedral after 30 minutes. Because the day man was waiting until he got there. Well, another over-helpful person there that always likes to get in and give orders. Said to the guy that was training, the new guy that we just hired, well, you've got to turn the lights out. And you won't have time to train him and turn the lights out, which are down at the end of the lane, or turn them on or off. No, you got to turn them on because it's the start of the night. So you better take the golf cart and take him with you. And he listened. This guy was not to be involved with the light. Now, what I would have said to this little helpful, last stage, semi-old guard remnant, I would have said to her, why don't you keep your mouth shut? Because you're going to walk right by that switch on the way out and turn them on yourself. Now, if you can't take that treatment, you ain't man enough to be here, or woman enough to be here. If you're stupid, I'm not going to say, I know you meant well, and that was really, you know, you had a really good idea, but maybe you could do it this way. What are you there for, stupid? You know, you like to be lied to, whether you know it or not. You like to be lied to. You like to have that old man in you that's supposed to die catered to. Men love darkness better than light because their deeds are evil. You can't take the white heat that exposes what a frickin' phony you are. What you want is to be accepted because you're you. And the people stand right in my face and get into a defensive diatribe, and they know they're trying to paint their black gray, and they know God knows they're lying, and doesn't even slow them down. And you've never stood in front of somebody that will stop the correction that quickly when you stop defending and face what you did. I deal with people at the attitude level. I can't take that. I've seen him. I can't take that. Well, Jesus didn't have to take what he took. He's the first goer of faith. The joy of the cross, what lay behind and beyond the cross, kept him going. So then I find that the guy that was to train him, who fell for the charm of this lady who gave him a suggestion, I don't want any men like that. I mean, if some little twit can come and smile at you and you're eating out of their hand, I've gotten rid of more of these mamas around here that have camped out and beguiled the men. And I'm not talking about sexual liaisons, though. I don't want to talk about that. I mean, I'm talking about the generations of women who've learned how to act submissive and rule. And I like my wife. She can outcuss me. You can't fool her a minute. And, you know, she's pretty, and then people always are convinced that maybe she's available. One of the most entertaining things of life is watching her cut men down to size. I mean, she could have anybody she wanted. She wants me, and I think I demonstrated there was plenty around when I was looking. I want her. Don't even waste your, you know, you, as one of the guys here said so eloquently, you penises with ears. Go find some other willing victim. There's no, you leave your libido and your sex at the door when you go to work here. There's neither, it's like heaven. No marrying and giving in marriage here. So he fell for the little charming. None of the women that come to work for me better try any of that. You know, they love to cry when all else fails. I mean, you know, all else fails, a man doesn't know what to do when you're crying. I do. Stop your stupid slobbering. You know what you're getting into when you come here, women? This is God's work. He fell for it. So then, he was given the assignment to train the guy on the gate, not turning lights on. Then he says to the new guy, I don't have time to train you for the watering. That is 26 acres. They have gardening crews. Full-time people up there, they're getting some free board, have some watering responsibilities. But it was raining. Why would you water when it's raining? I mean, you know, this checklist mentality, I ought to get the Medal of the Century for the dummies, very intelligent people that have the devil totally snatch their brain when they come here. So he says, and he names the head gardener, he'll have to show you about the water. Well, that head gardener wasn't even told the new guy was coming on the premises. He had no business being involved. I can look over here and say, your brother. But he's the innocent victim. He don't know. And he's going to assume that I've told this guy to tell him to train the new guy in the watering. Well, he showed up in dress shoes and a suit. He didn't come to garden. I know how to say, you garden, and you turn those water faucets on at a set time and know how to put somebody in charge of him to do it. Just planted 100 trees as we're getting ready to sell the ranch to further the work of the cathedral. So I know that the head gardener really put him through the paces. So when he quits, I then ferreted out, he complained, my feet are wet, and I'm cold. It was raining last night. He didn't have any rain gear. He didn't. He's out here trying to water, probably sprayed himself in the face and all over his clothes in the cold night. And the poor head gardener's innocent because he thought he was just, he should have asked. Oh, God, I bet this whole studio and probably throw in the cathedral to boot. That the head gardener who likes to be boss and cannot be trained to say, did Dr. Tate today tell you to have me do this? The magic question people will not ask, it keeps them out of all trouble. If they ask at all, they say, you don't have the doc's authority. Man, do I hate that. Because everybody knows I came to this church to preach the word and to get the word out across the world. And therefore, I know that he said 29 years ago that he wanted a band of people that would help him get the word out. And therefore, what I'm doing today is making some contribution, even though I figured it out and it's something I want to do my way, it makes some contribution to getting the word out because it's something that if I do, maybe Doc won't have to do it, and he could say, yada, 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 yada. Therefore, in my quick brain, yeah, this is with Doc's authority. I deduced that. If I weren't such a stellar Christian, I'd knock somebody's teeth through the back of their head for saying, just with Doc's authority. I cannot tell you how creative the old guard has gotten in deducing. I worry that they could figure out that burglarizing my house is with Doc's authority. The question is, did Doc tell you? Not did he tell you last week to do it today. Did Doc today tell you to do that? Because that's the question if it's out of routine. And then because most people will lie and say yes. And then the next question is, what time did he tell you? Stay in your box. I bet this. I would bet the cathedral he didn't ask. Did Doc tell you? Or if he did, the guy deduced, I'm supposed to train this guy and I've run out of time and this is part of training as I deduce training. And I got a little help from this other little twit head who said, show him how to turn the lights on. So, yeah, this is Doc's authority. Now, the point is, the real reason the man, he's sick. That's worth being sympathetic for. And he's even honest enough to say that it's his own foolishness that got him sick. But here's the real evil of what the devil positioned. This is the real evil. He now says he doesn't have a car and he thought he could drive his sister's car. And she doesn't have insurance, and he can't even drive her car, and she can't even drive him to work because she doesn't have insurance in the car. And he's living with his sister down in Orange County, and it took him 3.5 hours on a bus to get there. And then when he left, it takes him 3.5 hours to get home, and that's 7 hours, and he just can't take the pace. And look at what he's now rationalized. I am the ogre that's asking someone to work 12 plus 7, 19 hours a day for $100, which I think would violate state labor law. He's to work 19 hours a day and take the bus from Orange County and take the bus back. And that's how he rationalizes his failure, because he's too proud to say, I didn't come clean with all the problems. I've opened my mouth and I've bit off more than I chew. Can I hold up my hand and at least have another discussion to try to figure out what the problem? I would have instantly said, well, if you're that far away, I got a place you can live if you want. I've been providing places for people to live for a long time. That cuts about 5 hours out of the bus time. Or, come work at midnight. Work till 6:30. And I'll absorb at least 6 of your 7 hours bus time. I'm not given that chance. Prideful men run into a glitch and won't hold their hand up. And they either quit because they can't solve the problem, or they find a way to improvise, lie, and twist their way around it. I'm easy, folks. But don't misjudge the spirit of discernment in me that can see through your flack. I want people that are willing to die to self and come alive to Christ and recognize that the greatest thing that can happen to you is to be a part of this ministry, a vital part of it. We can train you. And your attitude's right and your spirit's right and you know what you're doing. I know how to delegate too. I know how to tell somebody, you solve the problem and don't even bother me with how. Just solve the problem. I also know I'm involved. The way you do it's as important as what you do, and you do it my way. I've had them all. I remember one snot that just stepped in the gap in a time of trouble and took charge. And then I saw his spirit one day when he was laying in a linoleum in a place. And I came in. And I didn't want the crew working all night, and I was willing to take a less job than what I'd originally said. And I could see him rolling his eyes and looking sideways. If I just get out of there, they'd get the job done. Well, I've been getting the job done ever since, and he ain't part of it. That's just the way it is. Authority is right and capacity to author. Some people have the, and you've heard this before, but tune out, you old timers. You ain't going to come here anyway and do anything except listen from afar. Authority is right and capacity to author. Some people have the right because it's their position. Some people have the capacity. Some people have the right without the capacity. And lots of people have the capacity without the right. Responsibility is right and capacity to respond. Right and capacity to respond. I have the legal, elected, I'm the pastor. I have the right to author and consult God. Consult you, because I got a brain, and if it's discussion time, I know how to sort the facts. And I'm interested in your opinion only when I ask for it. Then it comes time to shoot the engineer and start production. I got the legal right to make the decision. 29 years suggests I got the capacity to make a few right decisions. But nobody has a right to author and not take responsibility. No matter what happens around here, I am both legally responsible here on earth for these nonprofit corporations and for the profit-making subsidiaries, and it is not any one of you that will face legal action. I am the legally responsible person as the respondent authority for everything, if you want the legal term. And furthermore, I take the responsibility at the judgment seat of Christ before my Savior and my Lord and the Chief Shepherd, and you don't. So get off my fence and don't come in here thinking you can make decisions that I have to bear the responsibility for. And none of these losers that get out of here have adequately debriefed, and I'm still taking responsibility for their mess-ups. Now, we've got a giddy world that's facing economic calamity because of all these hotshot computer nerds that thought all you had to do was put .com behind your name and you were Bill Gates. This is war. There's one general here, and I've appointed one adjutant general, and she has got the ability to get the job done, and she said, I'll spend however many hours, I'll train them. You get me 7. She's got enough character, she won't go anywhere without a woman with her. When I'm not around, that means you've got to have a couple of women that know how to take orders and deliver yourself from your habit patterns of manipulating your husband and come here to be submissive, which is what was laid on Eve in the beginning. Now, there's all kinds of churches full of corruption all over this city, and wherever you live, go find them. I've told several people in the last few months, go find another church. I've been honest from the day I came, haven't changed a quarter turn. I came here with 2 goals, restore faith and respect for God-ordained leadership. You got too many people in my church that are like teenagers that think that they know the old man, and you know how he is, and they learn to work around him. You don't know anything about the old man, because you're not fooling him. I want 7 people that mean business. Now, I take calls for other reasons, but I want you 7 people to start lining up and make your calls and get them in here. Do it right now. Get on the phone. Now, there are thousands of you listening by shortwave, internet. Somebody just called, said I'm watching on the internet. I haven't seen that shirt before. Are you live? The answer is yeah. There are thousands of you listening, and you're not calling. You're proving the point that I made earlier. You've gotten too comfortable. I supply you with 24-hour-a-day access, multiple media. I've gotten a satellite and KU band set up that lets you become part of an exclusive club. For less than $600, you can have a small dish anywhere and pull us in on the KU band 24 hours a day, which opens the door for those people that can't get the big dish for either money reasons or zoning restrictions in the area you live. We've been faithful to give you 24-hour access. I'm well aware that doing that diffuses the audience. If you only had a chance to tune in 1 hour a week, then those of you that want to hear the teaching would be tuned into that hour. But because you can listen to 24 hours a day, reruns, if you miss it now, you get it later, you've turned that privilege into presumption, and you don't respond properly when I come in here and say, this is not an ordinary festival. I want to know. I can live with the fact that all of you are a bunch of phonies and your commitments are just as phony as can be. But I want to know it. Turn in your king's houses and get off the boat. We built this ministry with a core of people that had to be on call and marathons every week. You're a spoiled bunch of Israelites, settled in comfortably. You got to be a full-time idiot to not figure out this is not an ordinary festival. The pastor's laying a charge on you. Obviously, some of you are not proper candidates. But at least you ought to be on the phone saying, I'm with you, and I'm praying you'll get a response. I now have enough voices of faith to answer the phone. They're standing around looking at phones on the hook that aren't even ringing. No, I'm not threatening to stop the shortwave and stop the internet and stop the satellite and stop the KU band. But you better wake up that a moment is passing you by and you're absent in brain and commitment. Now get your ass on the phone and start talking to me. And get some faith going until I find seven people that are willing to hang their lives and make a start and hope that they might make it. Out of the seven, I'd like to get one. If I don't get any, I'll get another seven. You're starting with minimum wage for 6 days a week. I wouldn't bat an eye to pay somebody $10,000 a month to do the job. But I'm not going to motivate people with that kind of salary until you come in here and prove that you're willing to make a commitment and stick to it. God gave me the joy of my life, and I've lost her and had to lay her on the altar. Kiss her goodbye in the morning and hello at night, as she's doing what 20 people used to do. I ain't too happy with that. I'd like to have my wife back. And without her, I could not have done. I was as helpless as the Pope in Windswept House. Because nobody would step up. You've heard my plea for the last 7 years and been unwilling to step forward and do what my wife is doing. Well, I want my wife back. She'll always be a part of the ministry. But she can do things other than some of the stuff she's doing, because the people that were doing it were unfaithful and had to go. I'm ashamed of my congregation. I'm ashamed of them in front of my wife, who's blossomed under the teaching. I'm ashamed of how unconcerned you are. You said you'd go with me as we take a mountain. There's more to going with me than giving an offering. I ought to have people lined up to guard that. Nobody else on this earth puts what I put on display down there. They're locked in vaults. And we have to scramble to have two people there when we ought to have three or four. I'm ashamed of you. And I'm more ashamed than ever as I sit here and see, everybody's out there gallivanting around. They'll tune in to see if it's something they want to watch. I feel like God, who said, my kindness, my long-suffering, my postponement of justice was designed to get metanoia, a change of heart. Instead, it made you worse because you're ametanoia. You're against change. God's not, we're becoming like other churches. A place to go. A place to show up. I've got people that come to the cathedral that have never been a voice of faith. I'm not talking about new people. I've got people that grew up under my ministry. You're just above getting in the trenches and doing a couple hours or 3 hours a week to answer phones. You make me sick. Am I about to quit? No, I passed that a long time ago. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. I can start this ministry over. I never had somebody pulling the harness with me like my wife. Some of you men, you're not men. Just a bunch of pansies. Can't take it. Look around and see mama's boys. Once they were here, tossed in the sponge. What are you doing right now where you are? What are you doing right now that counts for God? Chicken spit losers. I couldn't take being corrected. Try that in hell. Lord, I've had enough correction. Are you as disgusted as you look? More. TV keeps me from saying what I really want to say. I'll hold nobody back that leaves here to take a job that fulfills a career and makes them even more useful to God. But I haven't seen much of that. There's a few. I can see a couple, three in this room. They've not forsaken their volunteer commitments, and they're there when the chips are down. But most of you, if the rapture took place tomorrow, less than 10% of my congregation would go in the rapture. God is not first in your life, and if He isn't, you're not His. If He isn't, you're not His. And you've seen me get on this before, a lot of you old-timers, and so now's the time to pull the callous shades over and make sure it doesn't apply to you. I want these phones to get busy, and I want them to get busy now, wherever you are. If you're at King's House, I'm saying it's time to stop what you're doing and get on the phone and get in this battle with me and do it now. And I'm looking for 7 people to make a commitment for life. If you haven't got the goods, I'll send you out and say, attend the church and be a volunteer. I'm looking for 7 that want to make this a championship team again. Not a bunch of losers, but an elite crowd that's the best team for God on this planet. And I'll pay you accordingly when you pass muster. I'll get on the telephone. You know, we had a man responsible for Costa Rica, Anguilla, and Dallas. My wife has to do that now. Learning Spanish as she does it, to talk to the people in Costa Rica. Deal with the attorneys down there. New contracts with the engineering firms that are expanding the broadcast. She has to be the administrative head of the mausoleum up in Berkeley. Handle all of the problems that come from there. The horse press. The ranch in Taylorsville. any of the problems that pay all the bills out of Oroville, pay all the bills. The day she had to get involved with the counting room, doing it, not just supervising it because of what we've lost. The person responsible for scheduling the volunteers at the cathedral's gone. Now she has to take that charge over, or that job over. She's negotiating all the contracts for the expansion, including the raising of the sign. Processes all of my mail, handles the music department, will be dealing with the young people who come for auditions tomorrow night. My health, survival of the heart attack and other things, not the least by a long shot of the credit, goes to her ability to take care of me nutritionally and encouraging the continued exercise program that's kept me in the shape that I am and amazing the doctors with the blood spectrum, cholesterol, 130-something, sugar, 107 the other day, to 123, TSA's back down. I'm her first concern. All she wants to do is take care of me. Dealing with all the various contacts that I have. Look around. You see a change in the studio? Who do you think saw that and took care of it? You haven't seen the half of it. The work that is going on in the tower, the work that's going on at King's House 1, removing decades of junk, negotiating all the contracts and purchasing the cameras. This past week, the engineer is completely reworking the character generator in the truck. On and on I could go. Because every person that left, she's had to step in and do the job. Because you little quivering sissies out there. Well, I'm not so sure, and I can't take failure. Well, you fail with me, you'll be better wherever else you go. The church has lost the message. Take up your cross and follow me. That's not something you wear as jewelry around your neck. He bore his cross. That's what I'm talking about as the first goer. He told me and you to bear mine. There is a cross for everyone. And I can tell you what it is in a simple sentence. It's doing what only you can do to further God's gospel plan. He did what only he could do. He took his father's commission and he carried it out. And I couldn't save anybody, as I said a couple of Sundays ago, being nailed to 12 crosses. I could do other things, certainly at 74. I could sell my stamp collections and live happily ever after on a beach with my wife. You are being given an opportunity to share in everything. I can't do it by myself. It's breaking me and my wife down. You got a chance to step in and, like Luke was to Paul, be that to this ministry. But like Jephthah coming home, the romance leaves quickly when the price hits you. Then you want to quit. one of those that we were counting on disappeared the other day. One of the new people just disappeared. You found her, Dean, by phone eventually. She turned her phone off. She'd been a vital help to Melissa, but got down the mouth. In fact, spontaneously, the crew the other night, when she wasn't there, referred to her as, spontaneously, two people simultaneously said, Dark Cloud. That was her nickname. You ever stop acting excited about being here, you're out of here.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
I've had these rain-in-the-face old guard people martyring themselves for Jesus till I'm sick of it. I didn't give up what Jesus gave up, didn't have what he had, but I can tell you, I got a lot more going for me that I've given up to pastor this church than any one of you got going for you.
Yes,
from beautiful women to money to brains to education to jobs that I could have galore.
Yes,
so cut, get off of your martyrdom complex. And when you found her, what are you doing? Blubbering by the road, sitting in the car. I'm sitting here, so I don't do something stupid. Like what? Quit! God, deliver me from people like that. Who asked you to treat God like a commitment to torture? Yes, the cross was hard, but the joy of the cross was who he was doing it for and what was being accomplished by it. This generation that thinks that you've died and gone to heaven, if you find a job that isn't work, and you find a job that's doing what you want to do all the time. Work, by definition, is doing what you don't want to do. Go get the sissies and the martyrs out of my church.
Yes, sir.
Give me just seven that I can start molding again. Now get on the telephone and let me know whose side you're on. Now, I've been doing a lot of talking. It's time for you to do the talking. So we're just going to play music for two or three songs, and I'm going to watch for your calls. Get on the telephone. I tell you, if you don't start calling, what's going to happen? I'll play this festival around the clock for the next 3 days or 2 days. I'll catch you somewhere, people that think they can pick their times to listen. We're live. And I want you on the phone right now. And I'm not happy with your response. Not all of you are going to be one of the seven. They made movies about the seven, from the old samurai original idea, the Magnificent Seven. We got an age that had no interest in heroes, green hulks and special effects. Where'd the ethics of the old Western movies go? Where's the John Waynes on the current scene? Got a bunch of characterless, lost generation, computer nerd, special effect, sex and violence. Why anybody be watching anything but me is beyond me.
Yes, sir.
Beyond me. I suggest you go find a Christian network run by a husband and wife that don't even live together. Or go find yourself a church where the senior pastor is carrying on an affair with his brother or the associate pastor. And then they talk about restoration. Well, the only restoration he needs is to kick his ass out in the street. See how many years he will just come volunteer and clean the toilets and follow like a leper saying, unclean, unclean, until God extends mercy. Even God distinguished between ordinary sins, and sins in the congregation as a whole, and sins of those who are acting representing the congregation. I preach faith, and I preach redemption, and I preach grace. But if you are truly faithing, your life will be in the process of being changed by the implant of God's Spirit. I preach, you don't have to work at being a Christian as people define Christianity. You have to work at faithing. Lay your life on the line. Taking a promise of God and believing that He will do what He says. No man hath forsaken, Luke 14 is not finished in the first few verses. No man hath forsaken father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, houses, lands, his own life also. But what he will receive, not only in the life to come, but many times those things here. People look at the blessings that God rains on me, material. I've said it. I really believe if I were sent by God to a desert island, he'd create a market for sand. It wasn't always that way. The tragedy of a lot of people that wanted to be me when I came here is they didn't follow me the previous 44 years. They wanted the resurrection benefits without the death. Ain't no resurrection till you die. And there ain't any other way. The door to dying starts right here. They're not clamoring to get in. Now, get on the telephone. We are six short of the first 100 of 700 that must give $5,000 by my birthday, August 14th. We have 94. It stopped right there. Of the 300 that must give 10,000, we have 179. We're working on the second 100. You got spoiled with secret 15, just like secret 6, because I made the mistake of telling you. I'm still looking for 700 that will give for no reason except appreciation for the teaching of God's Word. It's a measure of your lack of spiritual commitment that you're more motivated to give if you see in advance what it's for. You don't even realize how I am fighting the forces of evil that must annihilate the church. And the government must take over and control the churches. And Antichrist cannot come to power as long as the true church is here. He that restraineth will restrain until he's taken out of the way. That's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not going to be taken from this earth. The Holy Spirit will still be working through the last two witnesses. That which resists Antichrist coming to power is the true church. We not only have the job to spread the word and seek, as Paul says in the first chapter, other hearers of faith. We got the responsibility to resist Antichrist. That's why I've fought government encroachment. It's a losing battle. Anti-terrorist program. New courts, bankruptcy law. I fought and won just a year ago. The crazy law on the books. A couple that were tithers. The man knew the woman was a tither when he married her. He knew she was tithing all along. She literally ran the business side of the business, the finances. Under a remote section of the code, gifts. Gifts for either 6 months or a year prior to a divorce, and they are trying it in bankruptcy courts prior to bankruptcy, without the approval of the companion, spouse, must be returned to the estate. Under the theory, which is valid. This is the reason for the law. Churches weren't even in the consideration of the legislators. The devil was running the show. Husbands who know more about their finances than the wife normally can make large gifts to friends and to relatives and to sweetheart deals and deplete the estate, knowing a divorce is coming. And quite rightly, the family court can reach for those gifts that the other spouse did not agree to, get them back. I spent $100,000 and hired attorneys galore because of the way we do things in this church, which most of you people aren't even aware of. We don't get any gifts. Tithe is not a gift. Tithe is paying a debt. The minute you get your income, 10% of it belongs to God. I won't tolerate, judge, or anybody else calling the tithe a gift, and if they want to take me on, I'll lay the history from Genesis to now, because I teach you people right. The husband who wanted to get all the money back, and thus what it requires is then looking into the church records and the donation records, which are yours, to see if this spouse, do you have any idea what would happen to churches if every time a couple broke up, the sour couple wants to say he or she did not approve? It would force churches into getting signatures from every donor in which the spouse agrees to every contribution. These are the things going on in the world you don't know about, that I have to stay alert to and stay at least 10 years ahead. All anti-terrorism is going to do the same thing anti-drug war did. Just many druggies and more, and they have made a dent in the drug market. All they've done is take some civil rights away. Church down in Phoenix got a contribution from a druggie. They arrest the druggie, and they demand the church give $60,000 back, and that chicken spit pastor did it. Now, the IRS doesn't care how you make your money. You can make your money illegally as a prostitute as long as you pay taxes on it. But you can't tithe on illegal, criminally obtained money. I'm going to tell you, you try that with me, the government's going to spend a lot more than $60,000 to get that $60,000. You give to this church because of what you've already received. You're going to come and demand it back any more than you're going down to Macy's and demand their money back for something they sold you. You have no real appreciation because you grew up under it. You think this is normal. You think what you get in our church is normal. Go and go to another church for the next 30 days. Then tell me what you think. I am not your little puppet on a string. You can pull the string and blah, 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 and I teach you and then you go your way. I'm very capable. I've done it more than once. Just wipe the slate clean and start over. And you better wake up to what's going on around here. I'm very merciful with a bunch of sad sacks that couldn't put their body where their mouth was because they didn't have any spirituality and wouldn't put on the armor of God and thought they could come and knock home runs and stepped into an arena where they had no spiritual weaponry. Then in order to live with themselves, they got to somehow justify and rationalize their failure. Yo, you failed! Just like Mark failed. But you can start over if you get your heart right. If you're not starting over, well, I did nothing, so but. The only but in the equation is you. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
You touched the light. You had, and some new ones have a chance. To hold the arms up and be a part of something that Paul himself in heaven is envious as he looks. As Claire Grace said in that follow-up prophecy, when she was transported, she read the first page of A Hole in Rome. Chased me down in a hotel, getting the number from my mother at 2 a.m, sobbing on the phone. I don't know whether anybody were out of it, but I felt myself transported to that prison in Rome. How I knew, I don't know. The chain to the little rock peg was the Apostle Paul, looking at me and talking to me. And I saw Eugene with your hand on your elbow on the wall and your hand, and it looked like you were crying. And Paul was talking to me, she said. And telling me that Gene had captured his message and his heart. But he wanted to have her warn me that I would suffer many of the things that he suffered. But I would be allowed to reveal things that even he was not ready, and not yet ready, to reveal out of God's Word. But I would suffer the losses, the friends and associates, the enmity of the established church, but that I had his message, and don't give up as he didn't, in order that I might say, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. He had Luke, except for my wife, and she's one with me. I don't have anybody. And the door of opportunity is passing people that will never, ever come to you again. To get the breath of eternity on you and make eternity more important as it ought to be than time. That's what this Christian walk is about. That's what I said at the end of A Hole in Rome. One issue faces Christianity. It makes no sense apart from this. Eternity versus time. And you got a preacher that is selling a Christianity to you that makes time better and motivates you because of the benefits in time, you got the wrong preacher. And paradoxically, when eternity becomes more important than time, no man hath forsaken. But the key word is forsaken. You can't forsake and expect. You forsake. You say, as Jesus did, not my will but thine, and march to the cross. Only when that commitment is without qualification is resurrection and the guarantee. Now, next move's yours. Get on the phone. Now, I believe that ranks right up there with one of the dumbest songs I ever heard in my life. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, call her and warn her to get rid of Joe the Grinder. I'd go in and surprise her, and the grinder would lose his grinding machine. That's the dumbest song I ever heard. I can't believe that I heard that. I want to hear that again, and just to prove it's as dumb as I think it is. The old man in the mountain's coming home. Get rid of Joe the Grinder. I don't need somebody warming my bed for me. You better be there alone. No wonder she found Joe the Grinder with a man like that as a husband. Play that again. Yeah, it's as dumb as I thought it was. If she's got any sense, she'll take Joe and hightail it. Let the old man in the mountain come home alone. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Mail that as a present to some other Christian network. Now the entertainment's over. Coffee break's over. Everybody on your head now. Get on the telephone. I'm going to let you have the time to call. I'm going to keep hounding you. Because in 20 minutes we join 56. And then everybody will be, oh, I didn't know you were live. And then the phones will get busy. But all across America, satellite people, shortwave people, internet people, are just sitting there like gimlet-eyed lobsters and saying, well, I'm not going to be one of the seven, so I'm not going to call lest I occupy a phone. Well, how about reservations? How about you that are going to be watching on Sunday? I'm still looking for six more, giving 5,000 to be at the first 100 of Secret 16. I need another 21 to be at the second 100. It's amazing that that number is larger than those giving 5,000. 179 giving 10. You better take Secret 16 serious. It's your opportunity to participate, and I doubt anyone that's participated in any secret are sorry they did. And I told all of you that didn't quite make your commitments for Secret 15, you could add them in to your commitment for Secret 16 and start all over again. Reservations are not where they should be. Need about another 80 reservations. I need you to get busy. Teenagers, you're missing your time to make a summer of service. We have one girl who wants to commit a summer of service. Won't be able to hire her if I don't get a second girl. Just that simple. Can't send you anywhere. I don't send a guy and a girl off on errands and jobs together. Dating occurs elsewhere. And I need two girls to be able to hire the one. My wife needs some assistance. She's doing just about everything. And where in the world is your commitment? Get on the telephone. And you know, we've done a lot this year. New roof on this place, The old mainframe computer that went down, dismantled and moved out. Computer room, bookstore being totally reconfigured. Not even going to let you in on the secret of what's being done in Studio C. New roof on Secret 1. New roof on King's House 1. New roof on this house, this King's House 2. New roof on the tower at the cathedral. I had to go through Reg 4, things that weren't done when we didn't own the building. Bringing it up to fire code. Had to put a new roof on because they had to flood thousands of gallons of water on the roof to check out all the fire safety matters. Things that are done. This looks like a studio now. Didn't look like one before. New tile up there. Many of you helped accomplish. That's just the beginning of all the things that have been going on. We're moving forward. You have no idea what's happening in the tower, and you don't need to know yet. Right?
Yes, sir.
Did you get the okay to do that other hexagon?
No, sir.
I'm giving it to you. Fireproof.
Yes, sir.
Don't mess around with partially fireproof over $300 or $400.
Yes, sir.
You got it?
Got it.
Fast. I'm running out of space for Bibles. Just sit by and let us just pass right on past you. Some of you in this church remind me of some of my ex-women. Next. And eventually I found the right one.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to find the right congregation.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm sort of tired of you when we're at the brink and he's going to walk away, then we'll, okay, he's serious now, we'll get busy. I'm warning you. When I do it and you're eliminated, I will not do what this mountain man did. There ain't going to be any warning. Me and my baby and God will just start over. So you better figure out that there's no one that I've ever fired that really thought it would happen. Not a one of them that worked for me ever thought that it would happen. And they're so good at acting like they're getting up, pointing the right direction. You can't believe some of the letters I'm getting. That if they're listening, I'm telling you, it won't work this time. It won't work this time. You've had your last chance. And you blew it. Like the Israelites. I get amazed when I read comparing the things they did from opposing Moses when he was trying to deliver them in Egypt through the things they did at Kadesh Barnea and Rephidim and Meribah. What they did at Kadesh Barnea was, though I named it in the list, nothing alongside what they did previously. This is strong, broke camels back. And they didn't believe Moses. God will change his mind. We're going anyway. Once he sees we're out there and going to get killed, he'll help us. But he didn't. I can stand before God and tell God I gave him more chances than he did. And they didn't believe I'd really say that's it. None of the women of my past life thought they'd get the that's it. Well, they did unspeakable things to me, but I always forgave. Until one too many. People who've known me for years have said, Gene's like his mom. You've heard this before. My mom didn't have my dad's radiant warmth. Everybody fell in love with Dad instantly. Good looking, big smile. People just loved Dad. Mom took a little, she inspired a little, just a little bit of fear. But as they stayed around a while, they would come to Mom because they knew that Mom should have been one of the world's greatest referees. Fairness was not even a virtue with her. It was as natural to her as the two hands at the end of her arm. And she would forgive and forget. I grew up under her. I couldn't get away then with Mom. She's going to nail me until I faced what I did. She's like Grandpa Graves, the meanest man alive. But also very fair. Mom had that trait. And when she forgave you because your attitude was right, you'd have to tell her what you did a few weeks later. She forgave and forgot. Now, my dad, Ted, he didn't have a fair bone in his body. He just didn't. If you got on his good side, you could do no wrong. It didn't matter what you did, you could do no wrong. I like that side of Dad. You get on his bad side, Jesus could come in and lead you in and plead your case. Waste of time. You know, my dad's bad side, you're out, man. You're just out. Don't push him too far, he'll knock you out. That's the side you never got to see of my dad. I mean, when he lost his temper and his blue eyes changed to gray, I've never seen a man my whole lifetime who stand up to him. I remember my mother holding me crying at a dance hall in Idaho when some bullies were messing around with one of his nephews, and Dad went, and there's five of them. They backed him in the corner. He could hit like a mule. He didn't back him in the corner. He just managed to get in the corner, knocked all five of them out one at a time because they couldn't come at him from any side. They had to sort of come in one at a time. When he hit them, they were down. Then I said to my dad, man, I mean, he's walking with my Uncle Harold across the street in San Francisco during the war time. And I was walking with some cousin back, and some sailor was drunk and walked up behind Mom, put his arms around because Harold and Dad were walking in front, and Mom and Esther, Harold's wife, were walking back. Threw his arms around Mom, started doing some obscene things. He found himself sitting on the curb, involuntarily. And nobody ever stood up to Dad. And he had that side that, he grew up in Missouri. Don't get on his bad side. He ain't ever getting back. Now, people used to say, even my granddad and in-law saw it as a kid, Gene's like his mom. He's fair. He'll forgive. But he's got some of his dad's genes in him. And you know, psychologists analyze the id and the ego and the superego. The id's that power source. They coined the word TID for Ted, the TED in my id. Don't ever arouse Gene's TID. Then he's like his dad. You ain't ever getting back. I mean, there's only about half dozen people that have routed TID in me. Now, it may not sound very Christian, but if I passed them burning on the side of the road, I wouldn't Use my hose to water them down. You can push me too far. I want you to understand that as a congregation. I don't serve you. I serve you for Christ's sake. I serve Him. I ain't ever going to change. I don't like the comfort zone of a congregation that's been given everything. Now, there are some that are an exception to this rule. You know it, and I know it, so don't even bother to take offense. If the shoe fits, you better wear it. We're facing a need of committed people, the true church within the church. And all I have to do is sit here for 3 hours, as I've done, to find how corrupt my audience has become with the 24-hour programming that they don't even tune in at these hours anymore to see if we're live. Now, you better wake up and you better get on the telephone. You're going to get lost in the crowd in the next hour. And I'm looking for 7 people who want to work for God under me. Now, get on the telephone. Yeah, that's true. You're joining the program in progress. Normally at this hour, we're playing the series of my Sunday morning messages out of Romans, the side road for 36 messages, Excursion in Faith. But we're live tonight. I've been live since 3 hours ago, 7 o'clock. And it's now shortly after 10. So we're live. And I've been taking the temperature of my network. 24 hours a day spoils the people. They listen when they feel like listening. And it spreads the audience 7 days over 24 hours. Though there's a little more concentration here in the Los Angeles area at 10 o'clock, because you know you've gotten used to us coming on at 10 o'clock on 56. But tonight I'm aiming toward my congregation, not so much the strangers and new people who listen, but those that have been a part of my congregation for years, used to straight talk when it's time to give it. And it's time to give it. This November I will be 29 years on television, 24 hours a day, and 20 years on satellite, 24 hours a day. Come and gone on various on-air stations, but we've never stopped broadcasting internationally by radio, shortwave, and recently internet and off satellite. So my congregation reaches around the world, 60-some thousand King's Houses. But like many aged, mature organizations, it got too big for me. And I had the inevitable bureaucracy develop. Might as well sit down, Voice of Faith. I'm going to talk before I open the phones. I came here as a financial consultant because the church was in trouble at the door of bankruptcy. Congregational polity, and I was elected. And those were difficult days as I sought to restore the church to faith and respect for God-ordained leadership. And God has blessed, and we are very big, reaching around the world. Daily, 24 hours a day, we have to deal with far-flung problems. Russia, Costa Rica, Anguilla, Nashville, Dallas, San Francisco, way up north, Oroville, Greenville, Taylorsville. We are very big. No one man can do all that. Any more than Moses could hold his arms up And those who really won the battle at Rephidim were Aaron and Hur, who ran up the hill and held up Moses' arms. Because when his arms drooped, since it was God's program, Joshua and the army lost the battle in the valley. When his arms were up, they were winning. And a bureaucracy develops. I can't be everywhere. They thought when I came here, as I cleaned the house on the bureaucrats that had brought the church to its knees, they sort of coined the word that I was like God. I was omnipresent because I made it my business to show up at odd hours, and I always seemed to show up at what to them was the wrong time. I challenge people. As I said 3 hours ago, I challenged them with a message about Jephthah, who makes the heroes of faith list, because he understood if you ever do anything for God, it'll cost you something. I challenged them with the band that gathered around David, everyone that was in debt and distress and discontented, gathered themselves to David, and he became a captain unto them. Jephthah made the heroes of faith list. That band of debtors and discontents and distressed people made the Old Testament hero of faith chapter, the list of David's mighty men. Those that were carried in bondage in Babylon. 650,000 got the message to return. In all the successive waves from Ezra to Nehemiah, only a little over 5,000 came back and had the honor of building the temple and the walls of Jerusalem into which Messiah would step when he came. I challenged the people. And there were people that came and gave it their all for a while. But then God delivered us and we became big and large and comfortable. And little kingdoms within kingdoms developed. And people lost their vision, settled on their lease. And in essence, found ways to work around me and leave me out of the loop. Well, I'm sorry, one of my goals for coming here is restoring respect for God-ordained leadership. If God has a message for this church, I'm going to get it before you do. That's God's way. And I'm not done, and I'm not ready to settle down and just continue at the comfortable state we now are in. That's why I said, help me take this mountain. And we purchased the cathedral and paid cash. I don't raise money for projects. Don't want anybody giving any money that I haven't taught. But the congregation has been taught. And I tell you I'm going to do something, and I won't tell you what it is. It's a secret. I may tell you some part of what I'm doing. But I'm going to do it whether you participate or not. That's what these secrets are. You have a chance to participate, giving only as a worshipful response, a worship response to the teaching. Then you can sit back and say, well, I responded to the secret, and I'm going to be a part of whatever it is he's going to do. I don't let us get tied down to some project. I tell you some things I'm going to do. I'm going to raise those Use Save signs. I'm curious. This, you know, I originated reality television in this town. So I'm going to ask you a question. Just give me some samples. What do you think it's going to cost to move those Use Save signs from the roof of the cathedral portion to the top of the tower? Just give me a guess. Not one of you contractors, you ordinary people. Give me a guess. What do you think it'll cost? Well, he says $1 million, he says $2 million. Give me some more guesses. Huh? $4 million. Well, I must admit you think large. It won't quite cost that much, but it's going to cost a bundle. The bids are coming in. My wife's been meeting with the contractors, including some that have raised the large neon signs in various parts of this city. They can stay where they are. I'm going to keep moving up. They're going to go on top. They're going to go on top. That's only part of the things we're doing. You find out, normally after we do it, people who give here give because they've been taught, and give in a way, there's no strings on it. You've been taught, you are responding to what you've already received. So you're giving as a testament to the value of the teaching. What we do with it is none of your business. You give it to God's work, period. And you give it to God's work in thanksgiving because you've been taught. You go to a restaurant, you get a good meal, you don't say, "Oh, that's the greatest meal I ever had, but there's a little Denny's starting down my neighborhood that needs the money, so give me the bill and I'll go down there and pay them." You pay where you eat. That's what Galatians 6 is saying. You bring your tithe to the storehouse from which you get your spiritual food. These are old biblical principles. I'm just stupid enough to, smart enough to believe them. And I've spent years trying to bring dignity back to giving because God, to be God, doesn't need any of our money. You don't make God a beggar. We need to give for some reason in His plan. But we need to give right. We're not a charity. You give to a charity, charities exist to do specific purposes. You have a right then to see whether or not they've done what the charity says they exist for, or if they're raising for a specific project, you have a right to know if that project's done. We don't raise money for projects. We're not a charity. We're not a charitable trust. We teach. You pay the tuition after you get the teaching, based on what you think it's worth. So I don't raise money, generally. We don't ever say, if you don't give, we'll go off the air. No, I might go off the air if you don't exhibit some appreciation for the teaching and use these phones once in a while and call and say what the teaching means to you. But I'm looking for something else tonight. I cleaned the house. I did what, in 7 years it's taken me to do it, what no giant organization has ever done. I moved out all the dead wood. I moved out all the people that had lost their vision and their zest. I moved out all the martyrs. I moved out all those that retired before they were ready. That just said a mouthful. I don't believe in retirement. I believe that I can adjust the work for people until as they slow down, they can find a slower cart to drive. But I'm not going to retire. I'm going out swinging. I mean, I may hit Peter with the follow through on the last swing and say, "Am I here?" But I cleaned house on those that got too comfortable. Never been done in an organization this big. Move people that I love like sons and daughters. But like teenagers waiting for the old man to die so they could enjoy the assets. The old man ain't dead, and they're gone. That's pretty blunt, isn't it?
Yes,
now there's a handful left that'll straighten out or they're going too. I want cheerleaders. When I first came here, I never hired anybody. I didn't find out what they were making before they came here, and I gave them at least 10% more. Don't do that anymore. I want the commitment first. Then, like Luke 14, no man hath forsaken father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, houses, land, but what he'll receive, not only in the life to come, but here also, many times those things, down here. Some of the people that I shipped out, we're making over $10,000 a month, plus a lot of other perks and benefits. Don't give you any insurance. Get your own insurance. I hate insurance companies. All they want is to come and sell you some kind of bill of goods that they're doing you a favor to teach you to buy insurance until it's time to pay. The law makes you get liability now, but the only companies you can buy it from are ones that ask you to sign a release that recognizes that they do not meet the California standards and they are housed in some other state, which means if you ever have to collect, the shell corporation is going to go bankrupt. Hate insurance. We got a generation, and you should have heard, I'm telling you, a drill sergeant could take lessons from me on the eloquent language I used with a telemarketer that got on the phone and said, "Hello, my name is Alan." And when he said that, Alan got a good message. I wish I'd recorded it. I couldn't play it on TV. But I wish I'd recorded it. You could call your ex-husband or ex-wife and use it. It was pretty good, real good. I'm tired of people that are half-hearted. I'm tired of people that have no zest. Like a wife that says, "Oh, not again." I'm tired of people that have a fantasy headache when the sacrifice time comes. I'm just tired of martyrs. I'm tired of people that don't think they died and went to heaven because they got a chance to be here. I think the greatest opportunity in the world is working for me.
Yes, sir.
I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. Just too many stupid people in the world that can't figure that out. I want seven people. I'm tired of martyrs. I got rid of martyrs and sour mouths and dark clouds and excuse makers and defensive people and judgmental asteroids. And I figure it heading toward my 74th birthday in August. I'm entitled to a few years. And with the mileage I got, I'm entitled to a few years of cheerleaders around me.
Yes,
when I say jump, they say, "How for?"
Yes, sir.
And when you hot shots, when people that feel they have a chance in the most effective years of the ministry that I have left, and in the years immediately ahead of this church, to do what Aaron and Hur did and be a part, and really get the credit, along with me, of everything we accomplish as we cover the world. 29 years ago this November, this church, its voice was being silenced. Now we cover every square inch of the globe. None of the falderall that goes on in the name of God. Just simple teaching. That's all I do. You tune in every night for an hour here on 56. It's tightly packed, university level teaching on what God's Word says. With the manuscripts I have available and the languages to dig into it, I'm only interested in telling you what this book says. As close as we can go through the manuscripts to the reportive meaning of the words and the days they were uttered, and then you do what you want with it. Now, I want people that come to our church because they want to learn what God's Word says. No other reason. I want people to come to a church that sees that as its reason for being and has no interest in catering to your wants. You got another 6 days out of the week to do that. You come to the cathedral to hold my arms up, be part of the live audience and know that you played a part in getting the word going live at that moment around the whole world. And 203 messages, and I'm only in the third chapter of Romans when there's 16 chapters, I got a lot of unpacking to do. But what I'm looking for now is 7 people that want to come here and hold my arms up. I've cleaned house with all the bureaucrats. I'm starting over. It's like a divorce and settle the estate, and I'm rid of the old bat. And now I'm marrying a nice, wonderful, new life start over. I have had experience with that. I'm experiencing it. I know what it's like. I'm the only preacher that says a good divorce is better than a bad marriage. And if the old bat doesn't like you, go find somebody that does. And that's the way I feel about my congregation. I'm not on trial with them. They're on trial with me. And I want some fresh young faces, even if they got wrinkles all over them. I want a young attitude, a sacrificing attitude, excited to be a part of what we're doing, and I don't want anybody else. And I used to overpay them. And some of those that are gone got over $10,000 a month. I'm hiring 7. Minimum wage, 72 hours a week, 6 days a week. And my wife said, you get me the 7, I'll train them. And out of the 7, like a Laker training camp, some may make the team. Some won't. You'll have to live with that and start over on the fringe. But I'm looking for some people that will go with me. You know, I really didn't like the fact that I had staff people around in their 40s that thought that they were going to outlive me. I'll preach their funerals if they're still around. You ought to see them when I ride my bicycle day on my birthday and ride my age. I remember the year that I did 71 down here in the heat. And took off from the ranch up in the Duarte area and rode to Long Beach and back. When we passed the 70-some miles, they'd been relaying, trading off 10 miles or 15 miles. And on that falling tape we have, you see the last relay falling, dumping backwards. They had a three-wheel bike where 2 of them were pedaling. And they upended. Don't sell me short. My dad was going strong at 87. I'll beat him. I'm anxious to see him, but he can wait a while. Now, I want a new, fresh crew with vision and enthusiasm. And I'm hiring. Out of my congregation, I want applicants. Tell me what you do, even across the nation. If the commitment is stated in a way that gets my attention, and you don't have the money to move, I'll fly you in for 30 days and give you a place to stay while we see whether or not you got the goods. I don't have to settle in my senior years to a mediocre Bush League team. You're watching the NBA. They have to rebuild once in a while. I'm rebuilding. But I got rid of them all. Got rid of everybody. Never been done in an organization this big. We're doing it. I want 7 people. I want the rest of you regulars out there that haven't made your commitments on Secret 16 to start doing it. I want those of you that haven't made your reservations for Sunday to do it now. I can still let you in on Sunday if I got your reservations and have it on the list. I want you regulars making your regular calls. You know what these phones are for. And I'm perfectly willing to take the calls from those that are coming for the first time, as long as they understand this is not your usual church. You come to a college-level classroom by my permission. That's why you got to have a pass or make a reservation. I'm only interested in teaching, and if you're not interested in learning, you shouldn't be there. Go to another church. If you want that kind of church that doesn't mess in your personal life, I don't do any counseling. You and God work it out. Most psychiatrists, in my judgment, have started out in their whole field because they had problems. I got a PhD minor in educational psychology. That taught me not to counsel. I just want people that are interested in getting God's Word out and hearing it themselves, learning what the Word says, and being left alone to work it out between you and God. I'm not going to raise your kids for you. You do it. You bring your kids to church. We've got a nursery up to 2. Those that are between 2 and 12, they're going to get on an air-conditioned bus with adult supervisors and go to one of the many museums within the area of our church. The museums expect them. We've been doing it for years. You can sit alone in the service and receive. And if you don't feel secure sending your kid alone, then one of the parents go with them on the first trip. Your old man probably likes sitting in church without you for a change. And vice versa. In fact, I think some of you parents are taking it too easy. You need to volunteer once in a while to go on the bus. If you're a teenager over 12, you can come, but you've got to sit with your parents. You just got to sit with them. It's not discussable. I'm teaching respect for God's house, God's Word, parents, the old-fashioned values. Don't meddle with your life, but when you're in my house, you're going to live by my rules. If I come to your house, I'll live by your rules. And you go with the Word and do what you want with it. Don't have any social program. I don't want a bunch of social misfits. I got to find a freakish way for you to spend the bottle because that's the most exciting thing you can do as a Christian socializer. I don't run a dating game for you. There ain't no men's program. I don't want a bunch of losers that can't fit into the multiple men's programs that are around. We don't run charity programs. Give the United Way. I teach, you give because of the food you eat. But right now I'm looking for 7 people that want a challenge. You start out at minimum wage. I won't hesitate to pay you one of those 7 if they make it. I won't hesitate to pay them $1,000 a week in reasonably short time once you pass muster. I'll pay $10,000 a month and more to have somebody that would step in the gap and take the place that my wife has taken so I can take her home and have fun with her. You're crowding into my enjoyment time. I want 7 people that mean business. Now get on the telephone and start talking to me. Now, we're taking reservations for the cathedral, but primarily I'm addressing my congregation tonight. Night after night, every night from 10 to 11 on Channel 56, Sunday nights from 7 to 11, we're here most of the time, a replay of the Sunday morning messages, the series I'm now doing on the Book of Romans. You don't have much time to call. There's a song at the opening, my wife singing, and there's the message and a song at the end. You wouldn't have to come here live if you'd remember that we're a 24-hour network. These phones are here all the time. You can still call for however long when the program closes every night, and you need to write that number down. We're always here. A lot of you do not know, we're 24 hours a day on the big dish analog C-band, the regular satellite that you require a big 10-meter dish sometimes to pick up, GE3 transponder 20. Some of the older home set, bring it in with W3 or S3, but it's GE3 transponder 20. We're there 24 hours a day. The week of 4th of July weekend, we celebrate our 20th anniversary. 24 hours a day. Well, the earlier part was 4 hours until we expanded to 24 hours, but 20 years on satellite. We recently added another satellite on Telstar, the KU band, for the small 1-meter dishes, but you can't pick it up on the Dish Network or on DirecTV because they have their own Dish Network. We have our own DirecTV or Dish Network, and the dish has to be programmed to our satellite band on Telstar, The dishes cost about $500 to $600. Our Voices of Faith can give you the coordinates and the numbers that are necessary for a satellite company to sell you a dish for anywhere from $450 to $550. I haven't seen it cost more than $600 yet. And there's no zoning restrictions to the 1 meter dish. We're 24 hours a day on our own uplink and our own Telstar band, as we're 24 hours a day on the big dish. We're 24 hours a day on multiple shortwave networks every square inch of the globe. You just have to call and get the frequencies. We are 24 hours a day on the Internet. You go to our homepage, drgenescott.com, and there's three or four entry points, and people that are not in the know about the computers, you have to subscribe to some carrier, Real Network, I think Microsoft has, Windows has some entrance point. But we have the boxes you punch. And it's very easy if you don't already have it. If any of you are surfing the net, you already have access. And you can pick up, punch the button, and there I am 24 hours a day, just like you're picking it up off satellite. We not only have the home page with multiple messages that you can click on to and pick up, and a mini tour of the Bible collection and abundant other information, everything from recommending cigars to wine. Why do you smoke a cigar? I like it. Next question. This is not the church that makes you fit into some do this and don't do that. I want every sinner in town to come. I don't try to change anybody. I just want to teach you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the only change that matters is the change God does in you. I can't change you. I'm not your judge and don't even try to be mine. I just deliver the Word, then I do my best to let it affect me, and you do what you do with it. None of my business. I don't socialize my congregation. I don't stand at the back and shake hands with special pockets in my coat that can hold all the way around on the inside. I don't come to your home for chicken dinner. You don't come to my home. When I was single, I didn't hunt for a woman in my church. I went out and played the field and found the best. And once I make a commitment, that's it. I don't even see any other woman. I found the best. If you don't feel that way about your wife, something wrong with you. Or her. I mean, I was so sick of women, I didn't even believe in marriage. I thought that was next door to the death row. As a result of exposure to... I made up some words the other night. Remember, I said, I can call a female dog a hitch, a trailer hitch. And then I can talk without violating any rules, because you're in the in crowd, you understand what I mean. Well, I had 45 years with hitches. And I got loose from that hitch and finally found a helpmate. And it gets better every day, except she's having to do too much work that you should be doing. So I'm looking for seven people that mean business for God and want to make a life commitment. Don't want you if you don't want to make a life commitment. God doesn't want you if you don't want to make a life commitment. We understand each other?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's plenty of reasons to call. Don't call and say, who are you? And what? Send me some information. What planet you been living on? If you don't know who I am, where have you been? Don't admit it if you don't know who I am. I've been here longer than anybody, because the people that could contest that have gone on. I've been on television longer than anybody. I passed Johnny Carson for live TV a long time ago. I got the record. And what you see is what you get. Don't ask any questions. I ain't going to send you any literature. I might send you a free copy of a pulpit That I'm willing to do because that's teaching. Ain't going to be anybody descend on you with funny exploding letters that take all your money from you. I just want people that want to be taught and want to know what God's Word says as best I can dig it out, and there's not enough time in the hour that we have every night to do it. They have to sort of cut some of my message down to fit it into an hour. If you come to the cathedral, you get a whole hour and a half dose. If you want to come, you got to make a reservation. This is where you do it. Call, make a reservation. But I'm primarily aiming to my congregation. I want you to get back in the saddle and put on the harness and start doing again what brought us where we are. You learn a lot from watching sports programs. You see a basketball team that's winning it to the fourth quarter, and then they try to hold their lead. Instead of keeping doing what got them where they were, they start trying to hold the fort. I tear that song out of the songbook in the church. We ain't holding no fort. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is a going forward, not a backing into a corner. And I had too many people that decided they wanted to sit down, and so they're gone. They can sit somewhere else. I'm starting over. Fresh marriage. I've got no experience in that, so I know how to make it work. Get on the telephone, in other words, and tell me that you're ready to make a commitment. My wife said, get me seven, I'll train them, okay? I'm hunting for the seven. I want seven new people we're going to hire. Start them out at minimum wage. You prove yourself. I don't have any difficulty being generous. So get on the telephone and either do the regular things, and seven of you out there somewhere, I want a commitment out of you, and I want it now. So get on the phone. It's not often at this hour that I'm here live and the phones are open. There are thousands of people that have sat and watched the teaching every night. If you appreciate it, I'd like to hear from you. Nobody's jumping through the phone to lasso you. I've said and qualified my remarks for those making a commitment. This is my congregation, 60,000 King's Houses across the world. I want seven of you to step forward and make a commitment. Not all of you will make it. I'm going to build a new committed championship team. We're in the most important business in the world. Well, what am I going to do? Well, you're going to serve. I'm going to check your humility ratio. It's like going to be like a boot camp. You're just going to prove you can take orders. I can train anybody. My wife can train them. Attitude, what I'm looking for. Someone that is here because they believe in what we're doing, not because you need a job. I'm tired of losers. I want people that are here because you think this is the most important work that's going on in the world today. If you've got some other candidate, go try to get a job for them, with them. I believe unfolding Paul's message to the church is the most important message that can be gone around this world. It's the most important message to be heard around this world, the most important message to be taught, and I think my effort speaks for itself. I'm not cramming anything down your throat. I'm using every tool at my disposal in a lifetime of study and research and the availability of the manuscripts and enough working knowledge of the languages to be able to tell you as best can be done what Paul actually intended to say. That's my job. Your job in this church is to support that, be part of the supporting audience if you're in Los Angeles on Sunday, and to know that you will share eternally and everything that's accomplished, if you're giving the best you can give in the place that you are in this congregation. Now I'm asking, just like they do in the Army, I need some volunteers. You, and you. I need some fresh meat. Got that?
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to chew on you until you prove you've got some leather in your being. I want a new team. That's what I did 29 years ago when I came here and got rid of the dead wood and built a new team and with God's help rescued this church until it has the wonderful worldwide ministry it now has. Now, I've gotten rid of the sour notes and the dark clouds and the settled on their lease and the feel sorry for themselves and the quitters and whatever else you want to name them. I cleaned house. Every bureaucracy. I don't care who you elect as president, he ain't going to get what he says he's going to do done. The bureaucrats run Washington. Well, the bureaucrats of this ministry are out. They're gone. I'm running it. I mean, you know, no more. Well, you know how Doc is, but we got to get this job done, so work around him. No. Everything goes through me. And through my wife, because she doesn't do anything except what I want done. Now, I want to find a work replacement for my wife so she can come back being my wife. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
She's doing everything right now. Now, I'm not talking to a general audience. I'm talking to people. I'm talking to people that grew up in this church, married and had children of their own. That's what 29 years does for you. Now, I want seven of you to volunteer to death. I want you coming in here and not strapping dynamite on yourself and doing something silly like those feet of yim. By the way, the same word that we have for what Jesus did to ransom himself for us is at the root of that Arab word for those young people that blow themselves up. I don't want that kind of silliness. I want a commitment to hold up my arms and follow me as I follow Christ. I've got enough years, proven track record. I want people enthused about coming and being a supportive team. And not all seven will make it. I want some aides, simple aides, that are here for only one reason, to do what I or Melissa ask you to do. Period. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Now, I've got a few. I want some more. Get on the telephone. Now, tomorrow night, we'll return to the messages that are normal at this hour. Now, tomorrow is Saturday, so it won't work. But next week, we'll be returning to the normal messages. Sunday, I don't guarantee anything. We've got 4 hours from 7 to 11, but the Sunday morning service normally repays on Sunday night. As we sign off of 56, we'll still be here, Voices of Faith, taking calls. Write the number down when it goes on the screen. You can call after we go off the air on a station in your area. That's when you need to check the shortwave, the satellite, the internet. And we're going to close this 4 hours, but 1 hour with 56, the way we normally close it, with my wife singing from the cathedral, and I'm picking the song when they ring the golden bells for you and me. I'll be looking at you Sunday and every night.